Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Welcome back to the Pack-A-Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Reminder that the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Thunder Nellis is coming up next from 9 to 11 right here on the Fan. Also, Wade versus Diener is back for year three. Join NBA stars Dwayne Wade and Travis Diener on June 27th for the Champions for Literacy celebration as they make an impact in Milwaukee and at Marquette. Tickets on sale at wadevsdiener.givesmart.com. Again, Wade versus Diener. givesmart.com. Right now, we're being joined by Austin Krieger, Cheesehead TV. You can find him on social media at Austin Krieger _. Austin, it's been too long. How the heck are you doing, my friend?
I'm great. It's a great day to not be a Bears fan and happy to be back joining Talking Packers.
It is always a great day to not be a Bears fan. I appreciate that sentiment a ton. And yes, it is great to be chatting with you as well. There's lots to get into, Austin. I know we're sort of in the dead part of the offseason, but there's still a bunch of interesting topics that are out there. And I know the cornerback room for you is one that you've been kind of keeping an eye on. I want to start there. There's been a lot of angst, anxiety. Jaire Alexander's gone. Of course, from a lesser standpoint, Eric Stokes, Corey Ballantyne, Robert Rochelle gone in that cornerback room as well. They only bring in a seventh round pick from a draft standpoint in Micah Robinson, but of course go out and get Nate Hobbs as a, you know, a big free agent corner. How, and just in general, are you feeling about this room, and where's your level of angst and anxiety about the cornerback position in Green Bay?
I think it's impossible to say, I feel amazing. Couldn't feel any better ever. I think I'm big on things start from the top and, you know, works down from there. So having Jeff Hafley, a DB coach, kind of lead the way for this group, that makes me feel good. I think we've got the right guy in place to help this group get where it needs to go to. At the end of the day, I'm big on, look, Keyshawn Nixon has proved a lot of people wrong on that move outside, me included. As a slot cornerback, it just wasn't cutting. But outside, he was clearly much better. He still has some issues at the catch point, but still, vast improvement. Carrington Ballantyne, I've always been a big fan on. I never thought he should have dropped to the seventh round like he did when he got drafted. He's proven a lot of things as well that I think he's going to be a very good. I think he'll be a very good outside corner in the NFL. From a slot perspective, you know, I hope that's Nate Hobbs. You know, I know they think he's going to be able to play outside as well, but his best ball comes as a slot. His film from the slot is awesome as a nickel corner. And then, to be honest, working down the depth chart, even Kalen King and Kamal Hayden, those are two guys. I think Hayden in particular coming out, I thought he was going to be more of like a fourth, fifth round pick with a chance to start pretty early in his career after what he showed late in his career at Tennessee. Like I had a lot of high hopes for him as well. I'm surprised we got him off the Chiefs. I think it's impossible to say you feel amazing about it. There's no all pros. There's no Pro Bowlers. There's nothing that's like, do you feel great about locking down Justin Jefferson from that group right now? Maybe. But not exactly. That said, I think there's a lot of upside. They got the right coach, I believe. And the group wasn't horrible last season, as much as people want to give them a lot of crap. It was tough. They planned for a season with Jaire, didn't have Jaire, had to pivot and work around that, and wasn't horrible. I think it'll be only better now.
Yeah, I went through, of course, I grade every player and every play through the course of the season. Last year, Eric Stokes, my lowest graded player at -3.75 of any Packer on the entire team. I went through just recently and graded Nate Hobbs from 2024. His grade +1.50, a difference of +5.25, which has the opportunity to be pretty massive. So even if Carrington Ballantyne stays the same, Keyshawn Nixon stays the same, you've got those great safeties over the top. Even if Javon Bullard doesn't show any improvement at all, you're still looking at a corner room that, you know, Jaire played 300 snaps. It was fairly nondescript. And in one of those games, and in a huge chunk of those snaps, he got absolutely obliterated by AJ Brown in Philly in week one. If you have the ability to go from Eric Stokes to Nate Hobbs, I do think it's a pretty significant jump in your cornerback room. And I do think that it has the ability to pay off, I think, pretty significantly. And we didn't see Keyshawn Nixon make that move from slot to outside corner until about week, I think, 5 or 6 this past year. So you have a full season of that, and he's a little bit more well-versed in it. I do think there's opportunities for this corner room to improve just inherently, just on some of the things that we're discussing. And that's not even, like you said, if Kamal Haddon, Kalen King, Micah Robinson, any of those guys show that they are worthy on the back end. I want to ask you about Nate Hobbs. I know you went and watched some of his tape once he signed in Green Bay. What was your sort of impression of him and what he can potentially bring to Green Bay?
Absolute gamer. That's like the first thing. I just watched like this dude's a gamer. You know, I think Josh Jacobs mentioned his tenacity and that pops off as well. You know, there's a very good reason why he's still considered a potential star nickel in the NFL. The instincts are obvious. He's sticky against fast dudes. You know, he's good against wide receiver ones. He's solid and press man. And, you know, I know the injuries have been there and that's everyone's concern. He hasn't been really healthy, but we have to remember, like, this is a dude in a healthy rookie season. In man coverage, I think he had close to 600 snaps, only allowed 68 yards in man coverage as a rookie in a division with Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert, right? So I hear the injury concerns, but when he's on the field, he's in the slot. This is a really good football player. And the film just shows a lot of a dude who wants to get in there, stick his nose in there, and capable of bringing a dude down the backfield. He's posted really good run defense grades his entire career, injury or not. So if he's on the field, he's good. And that really is the cherry on top with Nate Hobbs is the run defense, right? If he presumably takes over slot from Bullard, Bullard was great playing up in the box, you know, attacking the run. You're not losing anything there with Nate Hobbs. He's got that same type of, I'm going to go stick my nose in their mentality. He's actually got the sixth best run defense grade and the seventh most defensive stops among cornerbacks since he came into the league in 2021. Like, wow. I'm signing up all day for that in my slot. You know, every year, like I said, really good in run defense. Now the big question is, yeah, can he stay healthy and how much will his game be impacted from those past injuries moving forward?
No, I think that's very fair. And I am very interested to see if he can stay healthy. It is definitely a huge inflection point for his signing in Green Bay. If he can, I think Green Bay got a great deal. If not, well, yeah, that's going to be a problem. And I do think some of the depth issues in that secondary show their head a little bit more. We're being joined by Austin Krieger, Cheatside TV. You can find him on social media at @AustinKrieger_. On the back end of that defense, I think one of the things that makes me feel a little bit better about the corner room is the fact that you have these fantastic safeties, you know, just kind of covering up some of the things on the back end. Xavier McKinney, absolute stud, unbelievable signing this past year. You talked a little bit about Javon Bullard, but Evan Williams is a player that I think has the ability to get even, you know, significantly better from where he was a season ago. And he was pretty darn good a season ago. I'm not necessarily saying that he's going to make this jump to Pro Bowl player this year or anything like that. I'm also not saying he's not. I think he is a super talented player that still has some really fun growth to go. Where do you see Evan Williams fitting in this defense this year?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I see him. I think he's the obvious running mate next to McKinney. You know, as much as I still have high hopes for Bullard, I feel, and you mentioned it, I'm look forward to talking about it later. Bullard in like that Rover, Chuck Woodson Rover role was something like I want to see so bad. Because I think Evan Williams got that role locked down. You see him playing up in the box, the way he comes up and attacks the running back, the short dump off passes, you know, the amount of third down stops he was making. I mean, he's one of those dudes you just can't take him off the field. He's like Edgar Cooper. Like, we need him to be on the field. He's very clearly one of the best 11 players on that defense. So, like you said, he might not become a Pro Bowler this year, but it looks like he will be sooner rather than later, like a Pro Bowl caliber player if he's playing a full healthy season. The coverage, the run defense, you know, I was not expecting him to look that good as a rookie. A lot of high hopes. Again, you know, you got a great DB coach leading that defense. I think it's better for everyone involved. So a lot of high hopes for him. I think he's going to be an amazing player, definitely the starter. Yeah,
I'm very excited about him as well. Very bullish on what he can become in that defense. And again, when you are running next to Xavier McKinney, there's some help that comes with that, but there's a little bit of added pressure because teams aren't throwing at Xavier McKinney either. So it definitely adds to it, but he held up so well a season ago, and I think it's even going to be better in year two. Let's hop over to the offensive side of the ball as we're joined with Austin Krieger, Cheatside TV. Again, you can find him on social media at @AustinKrieger_. There's been this debate / conversation as to whether or not Jordan Love regressed in 2024. And if you are a believer in the regression, if that could continue in 2025, what did you make of Jordan Love's 2024 season, obviously littered with injuries, and then where he's at going into 2025?
I mean, you just said it. I mean, can you really say a guy regressed when he just played a full season on a bum knee? Barely. We all saw that knee pop. Like, that's crazy that wasn't a worse injury. It took away a big part of his game. It's that escapability, right? We saw in 23, he had 50 rushing attempts. Last year, he had 25. He just wasn't moving around the pocket. He wasn't escaping the pocket like we knew he can. And that's a big aspect of his game because he has elite pocket awareness, and he's very good at getting out of the pocket and knowing when to escape, when to bail on a play. And that the element was just kind of gone last season. So I have a tough time with anyone saying Jordan Love is regressing, right? Mind you, the Packers still led the NFL in completions of 25 plus yards down the field last season, air yards down the field. And that's a big part because of Jordan Love. Like, he's still developing, even with that injury and a bad knee, he's continuing developing into one of the top deep ball throwers in the NFL. He's already one of the best in the NFL. And it's that part of his game certainly hasn't gone backwards. And again, he's still only one of five quarterbacks to finish in the top 10 in QBR in each of the last two seasons, right? So, I mean, that's not regression. I think it was after the bye week. Yeah, week 11, right? Was the bye week 11 or 12?
Right on there, yeah.
He was third among all quarterbacks in expected points added and seventh in success rate. You know, both were improvements from the first half of the season. So as he was getting healthier, as the season went on, his game kept getting better. I know it wasn't perfect. He's always going to have that gunslinger mentality, which is fine with me. And, you know, anyone who watches any games or watches any film, you know, again, he's got that gunslinger. It doesn't always pay off, but the arm talent is still so very obvious. It's still clear that he can make some very elite throws, some tough throws, some Aaron Rodgers looking throws. It's clear who he learned under. And I generally just don't believe any panic or casting of a doubt on Love at this point, especially coming off playing on a bum knee all season and still like making improvements as the season goes on, still doing some really good things. So I struggle with the Jordan Love is regressing conversation. It feels kind of, I don't know, it feels kind of lazy, to be honest, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think he's going to be more than fine. I'm so excited for his 2025 season. He looked fantastic in OTAs and minicamp, for whatever that's worth. And I do think a lot of what happened last year was not just the injuries, but also the time in practice missed due to injuries. Also, remember, he missed some time in camp due to the contract stuff as well. So I just think the missed practice time is a huge piece of it. And then, of course, again, just having to navigate those injuries as well. It's not just the MCL. It's the groin injury, the thumb injury. He had a lot going on this past year, and I think he's going to bounce back in a significant way and have a really, really fun 2025 season. I want to talk about three wide receivers. I'll let you kind of go in any direction that you want. Matthew Golden, first-round pick, and his maybe potential to unlock this offense. Romeo Dobbs, and where he kind of fits in this new group of wide receivers in a huge contract year. And then Christian Watson's potential return. We saw him running around already. I'll let you go in any direction that you want, anything that you want to talk about with those three.
Yeah, and last thing to just wrap up the Love thing is, again, he was the most impacted by drops among all quarterbacks in the NFL. True. So I'll put off the gas on the Love regression thing. I can't believe that's a real conversation. But I'm in the receiver aspect of it. Look, obviously Matthew Golden, that's a new shiny toy in the room, right? To me, just watching him, it feels like that's like a DJ Moore, Stephon Diggs type of hybrid player right there. For a guy who had bad quarterback play in 2 years at Houston and then very underwhelming quarterback play at Texas. I mean, just imagine where this guy gets drafted. If he had one season with above average quarterback play, I promise you he's gone long before that Packers pick, right? He was already considered one of the most complete players in this draft. You got guys like Todd McShay saying, like, this is the best player. This is the best wide receiver in this class from a top to bottom. He's an amazing route runner. He's very crisp. He's amazing at the catch point. He's obviously got blazing 4.2 speed. He's going to change up this offense. And I think a big thing with Matthew Golden, what the Packers clearly missed last season, was someone who can come through in those clutch moments. He had a lot of drops and some very important moments last year. And that is where Matthew Golden has continuously just shined his whole college career. And he is a man killer, right? So this Packers team also was missing guys who could just beat man coverage. So I think when this season coming up, when Packers are playing some man-heavy schemes or getting a lot of man looks, I'm expecting big games out of Matthew Golden in those scenarios. Again, he's already very polished. My only problem with the guy is he wears number 22. That's, you know, I get his reasoning. It's just going to take some getting used to. Let's all be honest. It's going to take some getting used to. You see the 22 on wide receiver one. But again, when he's at the catch point, last season had a 61% contested catch rate, was just incredibly impressive in those scenarios. And his ability to separate, again, I think will just be monumental for this Packers team that really lacked the man killers last year. So Christian Watson, I can't believe he's already moving around like he is running routes. That's that the whatever is happening, medical technology to get dudes tearing ACLs already running those routes this quick after, like, is crazy. So I'm very excited. I think at this point, it's hard to imagine him being any more than that 2 to 3 catch a game type of guy, but it might be 100 yards for 2 touchdowns, which I'm signing up for all day. So when he comes back, I think that element is going to be very, very dangerous to where this offense is, should hopefully be at when you throw Christian Watson as, at that point, maybe your fourth receiver. Hoping Wicks takes a step forward in terms of catching the football, actually, and then, you know, Reed continues to progress and actually gets more targets than he did last year. And then Romeo Doubs, I'm seeing he's adding a lot of weight. A big Romeo Doubs, that's interesting. He's already a strong dude and a fast dude. I think I'm a little... I don't know what you do with them. You can't re-sign them all. If Wicks looks good and Reed looks good and Golden looks good, someone's going to have to go. And when Watson's coming back and that trade deadline is coming around, I love Dobbs. I'm not saying I want him gone by any stretch, but I think he's going to be a very, very enticing trade piece come you know, that trade deadline time, where the Packers are going to have to probably think about doing something. It'll depend on a lot of factors. Dobbs is wickedly talented. And I think someone's going to want to pay him money that the Packers are going to have to consider not paying him. And he'll be a great trade asset. That said, I hope he balls out with the Packers.
It's such an interesting concept, because the way that he would have the most trade value is if he's balling out. And if he's balling out, you're probably less likely to trade him because he's doing so great and your offense is probably really working with him. And then I think the other thing is, you know, you could get into a situation where maybe he's balling out and the team's just not doing well and you realize you're not going to be able to resign him. And that hopefully is not the case, but could be a scenario there. I guess the other situation where he's doing well, but you just have Golden, Wicks, Reed, you know, it doing fantastic, and Watson's about to come back or maybe just did come back. And you also have maybe Savion Williams looks fantastic, and you just have this bulk of wide receivers, and maybe you can make a player for player trade where you're just trading from an area of strength to get maybe an area of weakness improved a little bit. There's those possibilities as well. I think for Dobbs to stay on the team in 2026, I think the way that he would have to do that is really to become Jordan's go-to guy. Like, if he is to Jordan what like Jordy or Devontae were to Aaron, where it's just like, that's my safety valve, that's my guy I'm going to go to in clutch and tough situations, I think that's Romeo's opportunity to stay on the team. Anything other than that, and I think he probably is expendable in 2026, but he's still a very fun piece to have on the team right now. Again, we're being joined by Austin Krieger, Cheesehead TV. You can find him on social media at @AustinKrieger_. All right, before we get you out of here, Austin, one left. Your bold prediction for the remainder of 2025. You can do the remainder of the offseason, the season in general, anywhere you want to go. Give me one hot take before we get you out of here.
I'm going to say, I don't know, this might be a little crazy. I'm going to say the pass rush shuts a lot of people up this season. I think this is already a team that finished tied for 6th most sacks per game, mostly due to some outlier games, but they still got home. Even without any standout pass rusher, they still found a way to get home. As a unit, they got the quarterback. I think I'm big on this Covington signing on the D-line. That's D-line coach. I think that makes a massive difference for that front four. It's clear the last D-line coaching regime was not it. And, you know, there's a lot of top talent that's stalled in development. It's not like these guys suck. These are first-round picks who just stopped developing, it seemed like. And Van Ness is not developing at the rate you would expect him to develop. I know you guys kind of already talked about it. And I think when you get a guy like Covington come in who can teach technique and teach those secondary moves, that's going to be huge. And I think that's going to be a big, you know, thing that's going to get Van Ness, Wyatt, even Gary on track. Again, the Packers last season were extremely rare outlier in terms of having 6 dudes finish with 150 plus snaps as edge rushers. So they were at a problem of this big rotation. Gary was coming off the field at a bunch of weird points. He had like a rotational player level of snaps. I think that's all getting cleaned up.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Weird outlier type season with how they use their edge rush, and in the sense that they didn't bring anyone new in, I kind of am okay with it because I really want to see what happens with Van Ness. I like Brenton Cox. He showed a lot of really good things on the stretch there. And then Enagbari rotating in with Gary on the other side. Like, I'm almost kind of okay to see where that goes. And obviously you got the rookie from Texas mixing in there. But I'm thinking the pass rush is going to be fine. I think it's going to take a step forward in terms of, I think you're going to see more consistent production from more players. That's going to obviously make the rest of the defense better. That cornerback room situation we talked about will only be better off from it. So that's my prediction for this season. The pass rush, I think you see Gary stay healthy, would be amazing. I think you see it all kind of come together in Halfley's second season, figuring out who he's got, what works from last season, and coming in and making a difference. These players, like, actually, you know, having us developing a little bit more.
You have me intrigued, Austin. I'm now a little bit more bullish on that defensive front. We'll see if it can actually come to fruition this upcoming year. I'm excited to see it one way or the other. Austin, where can we find all of your incredible work before we get you out of here?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter doing all my good stuff there at Austin Krieger _. That's kind of it. Still kind of with Cheesehead TV here and there. I had to take a little writing hiatus, but you know, might pop in here and there. But mostly on Twitter at this point right now.
All right, so go find him at Austin Krieger _. That's Krueger. And of course, every once in a while on Cheesehead TV as well. Austin, great chatting with you. We'll do it again soon. You have a great rest of your Wednesday.
Absolutely. Thanks again, Andy. Good talking to you.
You bet, you as well. That is Austin Krieger. Again, find him at Austin Krieger _. This is the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. We've got a lot more to get to right after this.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.